Yamadagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello and welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi, and this is the 50th program of King's Kids that we've produced. Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison has been so thankful for the opportunity to share with you the things that are on his heart. Each week, he and others pray that God will show him what he needs to talk about, and today is no different. As we get closer to the end times, Satan is on the move trying to deceive as many as he can, and often he is succeeding. The Bible says that even the elect may be deceived, and today Tony is sharing on the subject of deception in the last days. Thanks, Tony.
Today I'm reminded of how people are so easily fooled in these last days. They favour former godliness, and they believe they are saved, and they believe that they're doing what God wants them to do. But they're so wrong. You know, when I was in prison, I was in the yard one day and I was talking to this man, and he had this huge Bible and he was walking around and quoting it and reading it. And I said to this man, I said, "What are you in prison for?" Well, he said, I murdered me wife, me mother-in-law, me father-in-law and me brother. We had an argument. He said, "But everything's okay now." He said, "I found God and I've studied and I became a minister of the gospel." And he showed me this certificate that said he was a minister. Then he produced a doctorate. And I asked this guy how long he'd been in prison, and he'd only been in prison about 8 months. And there's no way in the world you could study to be a minister of the gospel in 8 months, not only get a ministerial, to become a qualified minister, but to have a doctor's name, a doctor behind it, like, you know, a BA, whatever you call it. I always tell people I got a BA, I'm a born-again Christian. But this guy had a BA. And I said to this guy, I said, "How do I get one of those? How do I study to get one of those?" And he pulled me aside and he pulled out a People magazine. And inside the People magazine, there was this advert. "Why spend 4 years in a dingy basement in the cold and the damp studying to become a minister? If you believe you're called of God, then you send us $200. We will give you a certificate saying that you're a minister of the gospel and you can go and preach the word of God anywhere you like, because we will ordain you as a minister. But like the good old Demtel, you send another $50 and we'll give you a doctorate behind it to go with it." And this guy sent away for it. And as soon as he got his certificates in the mail, they come to the jail. He had them photocopied and he sent a copy to the parole board and he sent a copy to the governor of the jail. And this man said, "I'm here. I'm born again now. I'm saved." And he said, "I want to get out and do God's will. God said, you're going to have to let me out." Well, unfortunately, God didn't tell the parole board or the governor of the jail. He didn't get anything. But he kept up the ruse, and he's probably still in jail because he had about 4 life sentences. Everywhere he went in the prison, he carried that Bible. But you see, one day, if you're not in God, you'll catch yourself out. And he caught himself out on many occasions. You know, I talked about when I was a kid that I was abused by pedophiles. And when I was in prison, this pedophile used to come and visit me. He interfered with me from the age of about 8 or 9 or up till about 16. And he came to the prison because he heard I was in prison. And he said to me, "Tony," he said, "you know, I'm praying for you." And he said, "I want you to know that I'm not like that anymore. God has forgiven me. I'm a man of God." And you know, this man prayed for me, and he brought Christians from the church to come visit me, and he had people pray for me. And then when I got out of prison, I was released to Glen Innes Prison Farm. I finished up moving to the town where this fellow lived because I was going to get married in that church. And while I was there, he introduced me to a lot of people. And these people worked in the government. These people worked in docks. These people were miners, and these people had wives and families and children of their own. But the thing that they had a form of godliness, they had a form of everything being natural. But in the real world, behind closed doors, they were pedophiles. As more they tried to convince me that these guys were okay, something in my spirit kept telling me they weren't. Then after a while, I caught them out, still interfering with kids, but going to church. And this guy actually preached. He actually preached in this church. He preached at the evening service, which was designated for the youth. And I used to get so cranky with God because I thought, how can these fellas get up and preach the gospel, have a form of godliness about them, and they just, you know, continue to be pedophiles? You know, I prayed about it and prayed about it for a long time. And, you know, God has moved these people from the church. But you see, when people get caught up in legalism, it comes in all the time because people are not free to worship God and to serve God the way that they should. And they get so caught up in trusting men. They trust men rather than God. They put their trust in men. You know what the Bible says? You put your trust in man, it brings a curse. Put your trust in God, he'll keep you safe. Many, many times I've come across people in churches that have a form of godliness, but they wouldn't know God if you beat them on the leg. And it's just so sad. They have all the knowledge in their head, but they don't have any fruit. They don't have any life in them because they don't put their trust in Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus told me that he's coming back soon, and we got to be ready. You know what it says in the last days? The Bible says that people will rise up and a lot of false Christs will appear in the last days, and they will have a form of godliness, that they will even be so deceptive in this time of deception that they will even fool the elect. They will even fool Christians, and people will then start putting their trust in men, and they will step away, and there'll be a falling away of the church in these days because men will be taken in by men. Instead of putting their trust in God and putting their trust in Jesus, they're putting their trust in men. And it's becoming popular around the world today because there's a deception. There's a church opened up in Adelaide recently, and it's a church full of people that have been disillusioned and hurt in the church. And this church is a church where people can come along and criticize openly and blaspheme God and the church. And they even have a reenactment of Jesus' crucifixion. And while the crucifixion is taking place, they hurl abuse and swear and they criticize and they blaspheme God. And this is a church that's growing in stature. It started off with a handful of people, and now they have 400 or 500 people go to these churches. They said they're not a church. They don't take money, but they do take a collection to support what they do. Isn't it funny? The church has a collection to support what they do, to support the word of God being preached to the world, and for people to put offerings into the church so that God's word can be preached all over the place and that God's word can be put out through Bibles and stuff like that. But these people, they are lining their pockets because the amount of money these people are giving them, you know, they're only paying for a pub venue on a Sunday. And if they don't believe in God, why are they doing it on a Sunday? Why did they come there to blaspheme God and mock God? And all they did was swear and yell abuse. And they sing songs of worship, and all it is swear words and the anti-Christian songs. And they've even opened up a branch now in Western Australia, in Perth. And now they was talking on the TV that they want to take it to the world. They've actually registered this church, and they're going to take it to the world. They're deceiving people. They're deceiving people because people think that, you know, there is no God. And they can go there and blaspheme God. Well, if there is no God, why are they blaspheming? Why are they going there to swear and curse and criticize God? You don't hear them cursing and criticizing Buddha. You don't hear them criticizing and cursing Muhammad. Because Muhammad and Buddha were only men. But when they go to curse Jesus Christ, he was the Son of God. They curse these things because Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You know, when you bang your finger with a hammer, you don't say, oh, F Buddha, or F Allah. Most people say F Christ. They know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And anybody that doesn't know God will curse God. But those who love him like I do will give nothing but praise and worship to the living God. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And you know what the Bible says? One day every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every demonic foul spirit, even Satan himself, will bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I look forward to that day when every knee will bend and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because he is our hope, he's our Redeemer, he's our Lord, he's our coming King, he's our Saviour. And today, if you're listening to this program and you're wondering where you stand with God, and I tell you what, if you have to wonder where you stand with God, then you're not saved. You're not a Christian. Don't be in a church with a form of godliness. Don't be in a church or at home thinking it's okay because I'm a good man. I don't bash my wife and I don't, you know, beat my kids. I don't get drunk every day and I don't go with prostitutes and I'm not addicted to pornographic stuff. I'm a good man. But good men go to hell. It's only people that are saved, that are born again, that are children of the Most High God, that go to heaven. I've had to tell a very close friend, put your trust in man and you'll wring a curse from God. Put your trust in God and he will keep you safe. God is so good. He's so faithful. He is so worthy to be trusted. God looks after his own, but he also looks after those that are unsaved even before they're saved. God has a call in your life. Bible says that God gives every person a chance to come to him because he does not want to see one person perish. He doesn't want to see one person go to hell and die in their sin. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. You've got to not be simply deceived. If anybody comes along and says to you, I am the Christ, do not believe him, because a lot of these people will be raised up in the last days and they will come with a form of godliness. And they will see many people, especially Christians, in these last days. They will deceive the church. There'll come a great harvest soon. God's going to send out an harvest to bring people into the kingdom. But at the same time, the Bible says there'll be a falling away of the saints. Those that are already in the church, those that have been in the church for years. If you're one of these people in the church that's been warming a pew for the last 30 years, and you wouldn't know God if he bit you on the leg, well, then you need to change your attitude. You need to stop and think and say, God, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to change? Because the Bible says you just turn to him and ask him. He said, I stand at the door and I knock and I wait for you to open the door and I'll come in and live with you. And you know, when Jesus comes into your heart, something's got to change. When you have a real encounter with God, you'll stop being a pedophile. You'll stop being a drug addict. You'll stop being a gambler and addicted to pornographic stuff. Because when Jesus comes in to live, something's got to give, something's got to change. And you know what will change? All the things of the world will fall off as you push into God. You know, you don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible. Like when I was a kid, the Christians on the mission used to put a red blanket over people's head and hit them with the Scofield Bible when they had their eyes shut and pretend to kick the demons out of them. You don't need to do that. All you need to do is say, Father God, come into my heart and change me. Come and live inside of me. Make me a brand new person. The Bible says that when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, the old is dead and you're a brand new creation. All the old things have passed away and you become a new creation in Christ. And you know what? That's so true. When Jesus sets up house in your body, in your spiritual temple, something's got to give, something's got to change. And I'm telling you today, if you think life is pretty tough, and if you think that you can't continue to live the way you're living, and something's got to give, well, if you tried drugs, if you tried gambling, if you tried adultery, if you tried fornication, then what do you got to lose if you give Jesus a go? Jesus said, I'm coming back soon for a church without spot or blemish. We got to be ready every day. We got to live every day as if Jesus is coming back today. He is coming soon, and we need to be ready.
Many
In these last days, a lot of people will be deceived. And I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about the unsaved and the people that don't know God. But I'm talking about people that have been professional pew sitters for a long time. They go to church every Sunday. They put their money in the offering. And they live like the devil for the rest of the week. And these are the people that are going to be fooled. They're believing that Jesus Christ is coming back. Before he comes back, they're going to say he's out there in the wilderness, he's out there in the desert, and no, he's over here. And people are going to rush out to see him, but it's not Jesus Christ, because he's coming when his Father has appointed his time to come. And when he comes, we're not going to miss it, because he's going to come in all his glory and all his power, and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So don't listen and be deceived. Like, I worked in a job years ago, and this is continuing on what I shared earlier. People get deceived. People are put in places. I was working at a refuge in Sydney, and I was second in charge. Money was not an issue for this organisation, because the government and a lot of high-ranking officials, politicians, judges, probation and parole, all these people had a vested interest in this place that they set up. It was supposed to be an Aboriginal refuge for kids under the age of 18. I was one of the first people employed. I remember when I sat for the interview with the docs people on the panel, who was one of my aunties actually, an Aboriginal woman, and I went in for the interview, and when they'd finished it, I looked like I'd done pretty well as the second in charge. And I remember saying to them, you know, you got a bargain the day when you employed me. I said, because the day when you employed me, you employed God. Because he lives in me, because I'm a servant of the Most High God. And wherever I go, I can't help but take Jesus with me and share him. And so the day, for the price of one, you got two people on board. And you know, God's going to bless this place because you employed me. I'm nothing special except that I love God and I love Jesus with all my heart, and he's with me wherever I go, and I share him, and you know what, this place is going to flourish. But unbeknownst to me, the people that set this up were all a bunch of pedophiles amongst the government, amongst the judges, and they was very selective of their border management, their Aboriginal border management. They chose people that was well-known in the church, well-known in the community. And I just thought, well, what a privilege. What a privilege it is to serve God in a place like this where there's so much brokenheartedness, where people are so broken. Kids can't live at home because of abuse. They can't live at home because of a drug addiction with their parents. They can't live at home because of the alcoholism in their parents. And in the kids themselves, not just the parents, but the kids themselves. And these kids, they seek refuge on the street because there's no safe haven at home. And that's what they do. And this place was set up to look after these kids, to look after such kids. And the workers were all selected, and there was about 10 on staff. They had their own accountant, and he looked after money matters, but the place was corrupt from the day it was opened. We had all this staff training, you know, on to keep an eye out for sexual abuse and look for the telltale signs. And my job as the family worker was to work with the families of the kids that was taken from the families to get them back into the family home. And I remember this dear little boy. He was about 11 years old, and he was as cute as a button. And I had the privilege of working with him and his family. And we had family workers on at night, and my job was there mainly for daytime, but my job was to come check on staff at night. And I also had a prison ministry at that time. And I used to go into the prison and the juvenile justice centre once a week and have a meal with the inmates. But I remember getting called in one night because there was something wrong with this young fella. And I picked him up and I asked him what was wrong with him. And he said he'd been raped. And I said, where? He said, here at the centre. We had about 5 boys there at the time and 3 girls. So I checked him over, and this little boy needed stitches. So I thought, well, I can't leave him here. So I took him to a nearby hospital. And once they took a look at him, they called in the detectives from the sexual assault victims. Anyway, I spoke to the detectives, and being a Christian man, I thought I did the right thing. Wasn't I in for a rude shock? The next day I came back to work, and I was given a notice to front the board of directors. And they wanted to sack me because they said I bought the place into disrepute. And so I went there and I spoke to these people, and I said, what was I to do? He was injured, he'd been sexually assaulted. And then I found out while he was being sexually assaulted, the 2 staff members were watching pornographic videos with the other kids. And I thought, you know, this is not right. So the more I tried to dig up and confront these issues, they showed me the door. My dad actually was dying, and I went home and my dad died. And when I came back from my dad's funeral, there was a letter in the mailbox that don't come Monday, a little love letter from the Mad Porter management. And they overpaid me the money that I was entitled to because they just wanted me to go away. And you know what? I prayed because there was men and women on that board who called themselves Christians, were actual churchgoers. And so I petitioned these people individually. And I remember inviting one particular board member home because he worked at the AMS. He was a sexual assault counsellor and drug counsellor. And I thought, this fella, you know, he's fair dinkum out of all these other fellas. I know the rest of them are religious, but this fella, he seemed to be fair dinkum. And I invited him home for a meal every week before we got the sack. And after I got the sack, I continued to invite him home for a meal. And anyway, and I said to him, mate, you and them Christians on that board will be held accountable before God. God will bring you fellas to account for what he's allowing to happen. Underneath that government funding, he's allowing kids to be sexually exploited. It was like there were days, you know, in the middle of the week, a flash car would pull up with a chauffeur, and, you know, the manager, an Aboriginal man who I've known all my life, he would take a young boy or a young girl out to the car, and they would drive off into the sunset, and they would take them out, and nothing was said about it. Where these kids were going in the middle of the day. And they was just a one-stop shop for pedophiles. And I'm not talking, you know, like you can't look at a bloke and say, that's a pedophile. These people were judges. These people were politicians. These people worked for docs. These people worked in all sorts of things. Anyway, what happened with this bloke that was coming to dinner every week? One day he didn't come, and I went into his workplace, and I found out that day that he couldn't cope with the guilt of what he was going on, and stood a hand that over to Jesus and asking God to forgive him. He took the easy way out and he committed suicide.
One of these days we all stand in judgment for every single word that we have spoken. One of these days we all stand before the Lord and give a reason for everything.
Produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.